Mr. Trouble never hangs around when he hears this mighty sound.
Here I come to save the day.
That means that mighty sea is on the way. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, mighty sea will join the fight. On the sea or on the land, he gets the situation well in hand.
So though we are in danger, we never despair, 'cause we know that where there's danger, he is there.
He is there, on the land, on the sea, in the air.
Alrighty, folks, this is Dan Kirkendall, and this is another episode of the Mighty Seek podcast. If you've been following along with the podcast, I started the hands-on series, and this is not one of the hands-on series. I will be doing one again very quickly here. I got a couple complaints that they didn't like the, you know, several minutes of rambling in front. They wanted me to just, you know, for the hands-on, just kind of get right to it. So I'm going to attempt to do that this time around. So this is kind of a pre-podcast of the hands-on podcast, as it were. I've been dying to get around some time to do a podcast. You know, I've been busy. Yeah, big surprise. It's just, my work schedule and everything's been keeping me quite busy. And I did spend a large amount of time trying to get ready for the next hands-on series podcast. I am going to be talking about some more advanced SQL injection attacks. And one of the things that was required was having a host that, you know, I had a GoDaddy account, which we're going to talk about that. There's a vulnerability with GoDaddy. I'll get to that. Anyway, I got a GoDaddy account for my current HackMe site. I wanted to be able to... I got a second GoDaddy account to have a Windows host that I could attack and be able to, you know, kind of show how that works on Windows and what the differences are. And I'm going to put together some ASP vulnerabilities as well. And there's a thing called HackMe Bank that was put together by OWASP. And I'm going to put together a version of that, and I'll host that on my GoDaddy account. And basically just, you know, for you guys, you guys could be hacking this thing and practicing and increasing the skill sets of my listeners. And I'll do some of the hands-on podcasts are going to be using that service. So I was going around doing that, and one of the advanced SQL injection attacks I wanted to do was really showing the different character types. I had a big problem because... what it basically requires is that the database support these large character sizes, large character sets, like the Chinese character set specifically. And the GoDaddy accounts don't support that. They just, they don't have reason to, so it's fine that they don't. It's not bad. It makes them a bit more, you know, it makes them that not of an issue. That particular type of vulnerability is not an issue. But it did mean that I couldn't use their server for my attacks. So I've been looking around for a host that supports large character sizes. As far as I could tell, I'd have to maybe get this on a Chinese hosted server somewhere. So, you know, a host in China or something to that effect. Which is kind of difficult since I don't speak the language. It's kind of hard. And I don't know that I could pay in American dollars and all that kind of thing. So... that was actually a major part of the holdup. Was going around. I actually paid for a couple other hosts out there, and I've had to, you know, try them. They didn't work, and then cancel the service. And it's been a hassle. You know, it's what I do for my listeners. But getting out there trying to take care of that. There's also the security roundtable, and I've been spending a little time trying to figure out how we want to work that. They recorded their first show on Saturday, or we recorded our first show on Saturday, which largely I couldn't be a part of. I was there for the introduction, and then I kind of had to skip out for the rest. I really wasn't planning on, or I wasn't expecting to have time to be on that this weekend, and I think they're going to be changing the schedule to one that fits in everybody's schedule a little better. But the first show has been recorded, I believe, and should be out soon. And that'll be on securityroundtable.com. We did get a really cool logo put together. So, you know, we don't have any podcasts, but we've got a website and we've got a cool logo that's being added into iTunes. I found out this is really, has nothing to do with security, but has to do with podcasting, is there's these, in the iTunes music store, there's these artist groups that they can create. And basically I stumbled on this and I found somebody that knew, you know, they had a group. You know, I have a lot of contacts within podcasting through what I do with PodPress and PodShow and previous stuff I've done for Apple. So I've got contacts, and I was able to, you know, put them into play, and we're putting together a artist group for the Security Roundtable, which will be pretty interesting. If you're not familiar, the Security Roundtable is it's a new group, and we're just podcasters focused on security. You know, there's This Week in Tech, I think is what it says. Yeah, This Week in Tech. They have a group. And there's The Week in Tech, there's The Week in Tech TV, there's Security Now with Steve Gibson, which is very good, and a couple other podcasts, I can't remember them all now, but they're all, you know, geek tech related. Security Now is the only one that's security focused, but they've got their group, so we wanted to kind of do the same thing with the various security podcasts that are out there. I don't think Security Now would really join our group. They're part of Twit, and that's a bigger group, and so they'll probably stay there, but as many of the other security podcasts as we can, we want to kind of get them into a group where we can all, you know, once a month get together and talk about security. Largely, I think everybody else is pretty much, you know, generalists. They work on network security and, you know, overall security issues. I think I'm pretty much the only one that has got such a niche. You know, I'm web app security. And that's what I do. Of course, I'm familiar with all of the other security stuff. I deal with it all the time. But my real focus and my passion is around web app sec. So anyway, part of the Security Roundtable is currently Michael from the Security Catalyst. He's really the one that kind of has been the catalyst for putting together this group. There's Martin McKay, which does the... was it Network Security Podcast, or was it Network Security Blog / Podcast? And then Paul.com, which they're also part of another group, but Paul.com is part of it, and myself, which I actually have a promo for Paul.com. What they are is basically a group of guys that get together, I think on a weekly basis, and drink a lot of beer and talk about network security or just security issues in general. Once in a while, they really dig into issues. Largely, they just kind of cover what's going on and have some little anecdotes and fun. And it's an entertaining podcast and informative. I think I've missed some of the good ones. They had apparently really dug into like wireless security a while back, and that was before I was listening. But I got a promo. I'll play this. Everybody keeps playing the Matrix Sweeper or Matrix promo, so I'll do the Star Wars promo. There you go.
A long time ago, in an IRC channel far, far away. Young Padawan, we have reviewed your training, and the council has come to a decision. Your security skills are impressive, but you will not be a Jedi yet.
But Masters, I know I'm ready!
It is true. Your Metasploitorian count is high, and you possess compilation skills like no other. And your mastery of the security concepts are clear. But, young Padawan, we find your lack of focus
Oh, popcorn!
Our decision is final. You will continue your training with the Masters.
Yes, Masters.
Young Padawan, don't forget. Lack of focus leads to sloppiness. Sloppiness leads to misconfiguration, and misconfiguration leads to compromise.
Yes, Masters. I will heed your words well.
Paul.com Security Weekly, providing security Jedi education since 2005.
Alrighty, so that's Paul.com. as you can tell, they're out there to have fun and put together, you know, some good information while having a good time drinking beers. And Twitchy is the the one that was screeching in there. And he's just a character. He's a lot of fun. But so then the other one, the Network Security Podcast, I'm actually, in all likelihood, going to be co-hosting later on today. So maybe I'll be doing two podcasts today. And in the next few days, I'll start putting together the second in the hands-on series. I may skip ahead while I try to find a host onto, I guess, cross-site scripting would be the next one. I haven't fully laid out the whole plan, but I'm going to go through each of the major categories of attacks and put that together. All right, so I've just been wanting to talk about some of the issues going on. You know, web app security is significantly different than standard network security. And one of the big differences that we're seeing is, you know, in network security, if you, you know, the vulnerabilities are around the operating system or some service that runs on the operating system, some application. And so you can kind of attack your own machines to verify the problems. In web app security, a lot of these things are being hosted, right? So, you know, if you find a vulnerability in eBay, that's their site. That's their property that you would be hitting. So, you know, there's been an issue, and I briefly talked about this, that there was a guy, Ed McCarty, he found a vulnerability in USC. USC is a, you know, it's a major college in California, University of Southern California. They're right there off downtown LA. So they're a big popular college. And there was a vulnerability in one of their applications, you know, that had student information on it. And Ed McCarty found a vulnerability, a SQL injection vulnerability, which can be extremely dangerous to an app. And I've talked about this, and I'm, you know, it's what the hands-on series is really there to start teaching you guys, very detail-oriented, is what you can do with these things. So anyway, he, like Daniel Cuthbert from last year, he found the vulnerability, he probed at it a little bit, and then he went out and publicized this vulnerability. From what I understand, he tried to inform the school. They kind of, you know, ignored him and whatever, so he went to the press, or, you know, whatever press he could get a hold of. I'm sure he couldn't walk up and get some, you know, New York Times reporter. So he got it publicized and is, I think, in jail or facing charges at this point. And largely because, you know, the problem is he attacked their site, their service, their property. Okay, so this is what's interesting is this is a little different than, you know, a network vulnerability, because in a network vulnerability, you can attack your own system, right? You can attack your own computer. It's the operating system and software that you've bought or purchased or, you know, or downloaded, whatever, installed on your own machine. So when you attack, you can kind of claim that it was your own machine that you attacked and found this vulnerability on. That's not always the case. Sometimes people are finding vulnerabilities on other people's machines and exploiting them and then letting that be reported. But it would be hard to verify that they didn't do the testing on their own systems. So that's kind of protected people that have reported network vulnerabilities over the years. I mean, it's very popular to find a vulnerability in an application or your operating system, whatever, and go to the various security sites and post it, that it's there, and, you know, it becomes talked about and vendors patch it. Usually, if you want to be responsible about it, you go to the vendor and then they'll patch it, then you get credit for it, you know, put it out there. And, you know, usually, you know, this is also where the exploit people go to find vulnerabilities and then create attacks, because not everybody patches their systems right away. So, you know, that's an issue. In web apps, you're attacking their site, right? So this guy had to basically hack USC's website to prove that he could. Now, you know, ideally USC would have taken, you know, measures to build a secure application, But their response was not... They didn't have a way that you could go and report to them and tell them that you think there may be a problem. Because as soon as you do that, if you... You know, the way the rules are generally set up is if you are knowingly doing an attack, then, you know, you can get in trouble. So, you know, unless it's total accident, but then the accident could cause an error that would say, oh, maybe this is vulnerable, you know, and then you'd want to probe a little bit to see, you know, to make sure you're not wasting people's time. As soon as you've done that, you've now entered the realm of knowing you're creating an attack, and now you can get in trouble. You know, if the if it's some application, so you've run into this on a PHPBB board somewhere, well, you can install PHPBB on your own system, and, you know, and to try to exploit it. That's totally fine. And then you can notify, hey, this vulnerability is out there. You can go to any site that you know of that's using PHPBB, and... It's a bulletin board system, and tell them, hey, there's this vulnerability. Are you guys protecting your site against it? And, you know, they may thank you or ignore you, depending on, you know, what their policies are and what their practices are. But if it's a service that you have no way to install locally, then, you know, this guy's a student at USC. His information's in this application, and... If they're not protecting the data and they're not building their application properly, then his data could get stolen by a bad guy. So what do you do? Right? I mean, your data is there. It's at risk. And you can't even tell them that they have a problem without risking charges being filed against you. So I don't know. It's going to put a real big chilling effect, you know, even on the, you know, some of the groups out there, OWASP and WASC. These groups are out there to, you know, promote security and web app security specifically. They're very targeted, and, you know, they really can't get involved in the way that the network security side of things can do, where they can have big old, you know, sites that you report your exploits to, and, you know, and vendors are there and people get involved, and, you know, it becomes kind of communal, right? You can kind of be a good guy hacker in the network space. But the way that the companies and organizations are dealing with the white hat hackers, really, is, you know, the way they're dealing with the good guy hackers that are trying to tell them that they have problems is going to create a chilling effect. And hopefully these couple cases that are out there now end up resolving to where there becomes a safe harbor. Somewhere that you can report vulnerabilities without fear of prosecution. At the moment, I don't see that happening. It's kind of a scary deal. I don't, you know, it does not promote web app security for a company to say, well, if somebody even tests my site, you know, and they report it, then I'm going to prosecute them and I'm going to, you know, put that person in jail. It's just a lack of understanding. It's a lack of any comprehension of what the person's trying to accomplish. Now, not everybody's great and, you know, altruistic, but if the person is there trying to tell them, hey, you've got this vulnerability, you know, I wish that they would accept that, take that into their system, you know, make it a policy to take any of these reports, you know, and start fixing these problems. Now, it's also even that. I really want these companies to be open to that so that we can tell them, hey, you've got this problem. You know, you've got my data. I need to use your service, right? You're my bank, you're my whatever, you're, you know, the school I'm going to. I'm not going to up and change colleges just because, you know, this web app is insecure. You know, that may be, that's going a little too far. You know, my data's already in there anyway. But I want the school to know that they've got this problem, and I don't want them kicking me out of school or putting me in jail. So what do you do? You know, this is an open question. Now, the flip side is, well, how far should you be allowed to go to verify a vulnerability? You know, should you be allowed to grab a tool, you know, like the one my company builds, NTO Spider? Should you be able to get a web app scanner and run just thousands of attacks against the site? Well, probably not. But where do you draw the line? You know, this is, I don't know, this is definitely something that's interesting and going to be an ongoing issue for probably years to come. You know, I'm looking forward to being involved in it. You know, I'm going to get more and more involved in WASC, which is, you know, one of the, there's OWASP and WASC, they're kind of competing groups to some degree. You know, I'm looking at staying very involved with these two groups so that, you know, I can be in there and hopefully offering some ideas or at least my comments to see where things go. You know, this is my space, and you know, I want to be here to defend it and say that we should have the ability to report problems, but you know, we shouldn't have carte blanche to just scan the heck out of these sites either. So you know, where the line's going to be drawn is going to be iffy, and that itself is going to have its own chilling effect. So I'm a little disappointed, you know, and not entirely optimistic about where this is going. But I hope that there's something that can be done so that app security can be promoted, and, you know, rather than using litigation to stop everybody, because that doesn't work, you know. Whatever your political bent is, you know, there's that argument, like what the gun rights people will say, is that, you know, if you most of these laws that get passed, they take the guns out of the good people's hands, right? The good guys' hands. The bad guys are going to get their guns on the black market, right? That part of the argument is completely valid. You know, of course, having more legal guns means there's more guns in the black market because they get funneled in there and da-da-da-da. But the concept stands is that a lot of these rules that are being set up are going to only affect the good guys. The bad guys are going to do their attacks. So these rules are going to have very little effect on them, other than, you know, maybe going back, you know, IDSs may trap them, and you know, maybe you can catch some of the less skilled, you know, web app hackers out there, but I don't know, it's a mess. Here's an example of it, and this one's interesting. This is a new deal. This has just been going on here, I think today. So first I had heard of it was today, and it seems like it's a fairly active issue. There is what they're calling the biggest hacking incident in web hosting history. As far as I understand, this is on GoDaddy, which is interesting to me, because I just rented those GoDaddy web spaces, and I did those for Hack Me sites, so even if it got blown apart, I wouldn't care. There's nothing on there that matters to me. But anyway, so GoDaddy has this form, and I've seen this on the web, on the Windows host that I rented, is that we came along with this gdform.asp, and that apparently is just something to process mail. And I don't know, I didn't dig into it. I just deleted it. I didn't need it. So I had you know, yanked it out of there and put my little HackMe files on there. But apparently this gdform has some kind of vulnerability in it, and you can, I guess, with the with the server object there in ASP, I think it's map path, you can map a path, and anyway, creates a vulnerability that I guess is going to probably be called the SSFM vuln. And what's happened is this thing ends up being able to write into the web app path and basically deface the websites. So, let's see here, at 11:30 last night, they had accounted for about 17,000 websites being defaced by this thing on the GoDaddy services. Heck, I wonder if my site's actually been hacked. Let me take a quick look. That'd be interesting. Let's see. Hackme.idseek.com. No, it hasn't. Okay, so my site has not. But apparently 17,000 other sites got hacked, or got defaced. And I mean, that's huge. Those are huge numbers for GoDaddy. 17,000 sites. Now, I don't know what the details of some of this are. Defacements that I've seen in the past, what they usually do is just overwrite the existing homepage file with the defacement file. So, you know, whatever you had in, you know, as your index.html file is probably wiped out. That's 17,000 sites where their main file has been trashed. You know, there's going to be some fallout for that, from that. I don't know what it's going to be. You know, this GDForm ASP, they've kind of said, you know, well, they didn't do a, you know, an in-depth review of the code, and yet they're putting it on everybody's site by default that rents a space from them. So it's going to be interesting. You know, this is something that I could have tested the exploitability, I guess, of this by renting a site and doing it and then reporting it. So maybe this is an instance where, you know, this topic I was just talking about with reporting web app vulns, that's something I probably could have done legally to test this problem. And then once that's been proven that this is a problem, you know, report that to GoDaddy without any legal consequence because I'm using their service, you know, properly. I'm hosting and I'm just auditing the code and using the code that's within my space. So if I'm only overwriting files in my space, I haven't done anything illegal. But, of course, that's not what happened in this. This attack is actually, you know, like I said, defaced what they're accounting for, 17,000 sites. So that is pretty huge. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. You know, they've got some Turkish hacker involved, and I don't know what that's going to all mean. And there's just, yeah, that's going to be a mess for them. I guess I'm glad my site hasn't been trashed yet, but like I said, it doesn't matter all too much because it's not a real site. It's just there for you guys to break into. What else do I have here? I think that's it for now. I'm looking forward to what's going on with WASC. They're going to be doing a new threat classification. And that's kind of exciting. I'm part of that. So, you know, that's going to be kind of fun. Is we're going to start reviewing. They did this about a year and a half ago. Some of my coworkers were involved with that. You know, at the time I was just far too busy. I'm still too busy, but I've just decided to take on more, which I don't know why I'm doing that, but whatever. I want to be part of it. I want to be part of the classifications. I think they did a really good job last time, and I want to make sure that the quality stands and that all the new vulnerabilities and methods of attack get folded in and that the classification makes sense. You know, I didn't like OWASP. They have their top 10, which is just completely arbitrary in, you know, it's not, you know, when you think of a top 10, the thing that's the number one in the top 10 is the worst possible thing. But that doesn't really apply to the OWASP top 10. And, you know, I'm not knocking them specifically. This is a hard thing to classify because the vulns impact really depends on the service, you know, how big the exploit is. You know, is it a persistent, you know, if it's SQL injection, does the SQL injection allow you to get other arbitrary data, or is it just, I guess, is it only allowing you to get data and maybe arbitrary data? That's pretty bad. Is it allowing it actually to delete and update data? That's even worse. You know, I don't know. Classifying some of these things from the outside is extremely difficult. So I'm really looking forward to the conversations that go in. I'll try to talk about some of it, you know, whatever I can. I don't know how hush-hush some of the in-depth conversations are going to be. Hopefully they're fairly open, and I can discuss them here on the podcast. Anyway, it's been about a half an hour here. I don't have any other promos. I definitely wanted to play, you know, some of the other Security Roundtable group's podcast, but they have not sent them to me, so I don't have them to play, and I don't have queued up to play. Actually, hold on a sec. Let me find this file. All right, this is here. It is. Here it is. Okay, I'm gonna end this version of the this episode of the podcast. Again, the hands-on series will continue in the next episode. At least it should in the next episode. I don't think I have a reason to put out another one before then. So anyway, next episode coming, a lot more detailed information, a lot funner issues, I imagine, to really sit down and play with. So I haven't heard Code Monkey in a few days, so here you go. You can listen with me.
Code Monkey, get up, get coffee. Code Monkey, go to job. Code Monkey, have boring meeting with boring manager Rob. Rob say Code Monkey very diligent, but his output stink. His code not functional or elegant. What do Code Monkey think? Code Monkey think maybe manager wanna write goddamn login page himself. Code Monkey not saying out loud. Code Monkey not crazy, just proud. Code Monkey like Speedos. Code Monkey like Tab and Mountain Dew. Code Monkey very simple man, the big warm fuzzy secret heart. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey hang around at front desk till your sweater look nice. Code Monkey offer buy you soda, bring you cup, bring you ice. You say no thank you for the soda, cause soda make you fat. Anyway, you busy with the telephone, no time for chat. Code Monkey have long walk back to cubicle. He sit down, pretend to work. Code Monkey not thinking so straight. Code Monkey not feeling so great. Code Monkey like Fritos. Code Monkey like Tab and Mountain Dew. Code Monkey very simple man, big warm fuzzy secret heart. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey like you. Coffee cake, take bath, take nap. This job fulfilling in creative way, such a load of crap. Code Monkey thinks someday he have everything, even pretty girl like you. Code Monkey just waiting for now. Code Monkey says someday, somehow. Code Monkey like Fritos. Code Monkey like Tab and Mountain Dew. Code Monkey very simple man, big warm fuzzy secret heart. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey like you.
Alrighty, that's Code Monkey from Jonathan Colton over at Thing a Week Podcast. His podcast is great. I've been subscribed to it. There's a fun little ditty basically put out once a week. This guy's creative and pretty darn funny. So, anyway, great podcast. That's it. I guess I'll tack on. You probably might want to stop here, but I'm always obliged to play my theme song. So, that's it. Thanks. See you next time.
The day, that means that Mighty Seed is on the way.